Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, back from vacation, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. You can follow us on Twitter if you don't already, at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. We've got a strategy episode planned for you today. We're going to talk about strategy in best ball leagues, dynasty leagues, auction leagues, standard, you know, snake redraft leagues, two quarterback, everything. It's going to be comprehensive. Tags, how's it going, man? I've missed you.
I missed you too, man. Filling the host chair was different for me. It had been a long time since I had hosted shows. I mean, I know I do some in the off season, but now that we're coming up on, you know, redraft times, it's a little bit different. But I have to ask you, now that you're back, I wanted to know that the uniform that you wore to catch your dad's pitch, did it let you keep that?
No, I didn't keep it. I made it really sweaty, though, so they might have wanted me to keep it. It was so hot in Arizona, man. 115 every day. What a cool experience. And thank you to everyone listening who didn't make fun of me for dropping the pitch. I could understand if you wanted to. I can't believe I dropped it. Like, I was a really good baseball player. Wearing a catcher's glove is a little bit different, but man, the experience as it was just absolutely incredible, and I wouldn't trade it for anything, even having dropped the pitch. It was great. And you know, Tags, I usually hate vacations, and I was like prepared to come back and talk about how dumb vacations are and everything. I'd rather just sit on my couch and, you know, watch football and order pizza. But it was a really good vacation. Just the time of the year wasn't ideal. And it was really cool to do the military ceremony and see my dad retire. He really is a hero. It was just such a cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. It was like a dad-son moment that I think everybody was jealous. Anybody that commented something negatively on that one, they were just jealous because it was...
I think a lot of people were just teasing and thought that I would enjoy the teasing. I don't really like teasing. I mean, Tags and I do the teasing with each other because we're friends and everything like that. But all the Twitter stuff, I never know when someone's being a jerk or someone's just being silly, so...
Yep.
All right, man. So we've got a packed show today. We're going to jump right into it. And obviously, we have to start with the news. First, though, I want to tell you a little bit about our draft kit that we have for you guys. Our draft kit has its own printable cheat sheets you can use. And our Draft Wizard actually allows you to make your own printable cheat sheets through a tool called the Cheat Sheet Creator. Tex, can you tell our listeners about how they can make their own?
Yeah, so basically, when you do this under the premium subscription, you're able to go in there and put in your league settings, and it'll adjust the rankings towards that. My favorite feature on our Draft Wizard is the auction calculator, because it can create cheat sheets based on your league settings. Like, let's say that your league this year is adding a super flex. If you put that into your league settings, it's automatically going to spit out a cheat sheet based on whoever's rankings you want, whether it be mine and Bobby's, whether it be, you know, Jake Seeley, you know, Sean Corner, who we had on the show last week, anybody that you want. And then say, this is the dollar amount that we have for our rosters. These are the roster spots, and it will automatically calculate the values for each player. Now, you can veer off those values a little bit, but understand the math is there. Like, we've done the math for you, and that's the best feature. I do not do any auction draft without the Draft Wizard there.
I like to play an auction league specifically because of the advantage the Draft Wizard gives me, Tex. MVP and Hall of Fame members have access to our auction tools, including our auction draft assistant with Sync. This tool will actually sync your online auction draft with our Draft Wizard and automatically adjust for inflation for you so you don't have to do it. So say the first five players, everyone goes outrageous in their bidding and Zeke goes for $80 when he should go for $55 and so forth. then it's going to look at the rest of the league and say, you're going to be able to get values on these players, and this is what you can expect to spend. And nobody else is doing that. So meanwhile, everyone's still spending $20 on a player that they initially thought was worth $20 when really should be worth $15. So you're getting values elsewhere. And a Draft Wizard is basically cheating. The Draft Kit also gives you all our premium content. In-season advice with my playbook, our Draft Kit is it's unparalleled, man. There's nothing like it.
Absolutely.
Now remember, the Draft Kit is only available for premium users, plus the auction tools we talked about, along with the Draft Assistant with Sync, are only available specifically for MVP and Hall of Fame users. If you want to find our Draft Kit, it's really simple. Just go to fantasypros.com/draftkit. All right, Tag, so we do have some news to talk about here, and you know, we'll cover the training camp stuff like Kalen Ballage running with the first team, not being on the first team. We'll see about that. We'll cover that later in the week. We're going to do one episode each in the next 3 days, but we do need to talk about some injuries. AJ Green is going down. It looks like he's going to be out 1 to 3 weeks. Now, this is a bummer. We have a lot of shares of him in best ball, and a lot of people making fun of us about that. Like, are you kidding me? What kind of sick person is celebrating an injury? But regardless, we do need to talk about where we're moving him to in our rankings. Tags, where do you have him?
I'm so torn on this. I'm sliding him down. I have him at 19 right now among wide receivers, and I feel like I need to go even lower than that.
Is this you saying you think it's going to be more than a week, 2 weeks?
I do, unfortunately. And even if he does come back, I feel like it's a scenario where it could be one of those things where they don't put him on the PUP list, but he's like basically held out to week 4 or 5. Because the Bengals, let's be real about it, they're not a team that's going to be in contention this year. AJ Green is in the final year of his contract. He could choose to sit out, basically say that he's not ready. There's a lot of reasons that I'm worried about AJ Green, and I've talked about it before, where it's like if you have a wide receiver or a pass catcher with a foot injury, typically when they have surgery on that, you want to avoid them that particular year, like that calendar year. And he just had surgery. It was announced. So some people said it was an ankle sprain, whatever, but he actually had a procedure done on it to clean up some torn ligaments in his ankle. That's worrisome for me. I don't think he's going to be the same player this year. So I keep dropping him further and further back. And honestly, if someone wanted to tell me they're not going to take him as a top 30 wide receiver, I would have no issue with that. It's just, it's difficult.
There's so much risk.
Yeah, it's just difficult for me to take some unproven guys over him when I know who AJ Green has been his entire career.
We'll see where his ADP lands. It's too soon to know where that's going to be. I would imagine he'll be drafted around that 25 mark, which makes me think he might still be a target for me because I do still like the upside. I think he's going to get the target share. Everyone's so excited about Tyler Boyd. Like, oh, AJ Green's out for the season. Tyler Boyd's going to get 1,200 yards. Guys, I don't think so. I think AJ Green still is the number one when he comes back. I understand what you're saying about the ankle. I think that's a little bit different than a foot, especially because it was just a minor procedure. All these injuries are so different, and so we'll see what the injury experts say about it. But I've got him outside of that third tier where I've got Keenan Allen, wide receiver 14, T.Y. Hilton 15, Robert Woods 16, and then A.J. Green. And I think there's a big drop-off, but I think the drop-off might be after Woods instead of after Green.
Yeah, it's so tough for me. I mean, I know what you're saying on a minor procedure, but it's still that ankle foot area. It can't be great. And if for whatever reason, like let's pretend, remember when he came back last year when he was dealing with that foot injury, he came back and like immediately, I think he saw one target in a game and then he was pulled and he was shut down for the year. I feel like it could be a similar thing for Green. You know, he is over 30 years old now, so it takes a little bit longer to recover from injuries.
Yeah.
If this team was in contention, I would feel a little bit better about it. But the fact that the Bengals are not winning their division, they're not even coming close. So let's not.
Wouldn't it be great if it was like baseball and they could just trade him? Like, even though he's injured, they could trade him. He could learn a new playbook and step right in after he's healthy, playing for the Packers, getting passes from Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but the issue here is, Bobby, is like you have to think about it this way. Would you rather take Chris Godwin, a guy that we haven't really seen put it all together for a full year? We're expecting some big things for sure. Or would you have AJ Green for, if you knew you had him for like 14 games, I definitely would take AJ Green in that scenario. I just can't guarantee that, which is why I'm struggling with where to put him in my rankings.
So who do you have over AJ Green then? Julian Edelman, I'm assuming? Maybe?
Edelman. Yeah, I have Edelman up at 16.
Kenny Golladay?
Yeah, I have Golladay over him. I have Allen Robinson, Alshon Jeffrey.
Okay.
Those are guys that I feel like they're the number one targets in their team, and they're going to wind up, you know, in that 110, 120 target mark, which I do believe Green would hit that, but it's just a matter of the risk that comes associated with him, whereas guys like Chris Godwin and Mike Williams, and even Calvin Ridley for that matter, these are guys that we're projecting to take the next step in their career. We've never really seen it put together for a full season with all these guys like we have with AJ Green, and it's just so difficult for me to move Green past that tier. But again, I totally understand if someone tells me they don't want to draft Green inside the top 30 wide receivers.
Yeah, some of the names you mentioned, I've got them right there too. Allen Robinson, 18. Chris Godwin, 20. Alshon, 21. Galladay, 22. Mike Williams, 23. So we're in a lot of agreement there. I just think, you know, if this is an experts league, I'm not drafting AJ Green. And the reason why is because I'm not positive I'm going to make the playoffs. If I'm in a family and friends league, it's going to take some serious injuries to my first and second round running backs for me to not make the playoffs. And so I feel like I can get away with rostering AJ Green, benching him for 3 weeks. And then you know what? I've got myself maybe a wide receiver one the rest of the season. Maybe. I'm not saying he's a lock to be wide receiver one from the moment he comes back because of the concerns you mentioned. But I think that he is a very good starter, someone that you would want on your playoff starting line.
Yeah, it would be nice. If you knew you had a healthy AJ Green, it's going to be a steal, you know, if you get him in like the sixth or seventh round, which is, you know, where he's falling to in some drafts. But there is definitely risk associated with it.
You know, you mentioned Calvin Ridley, and some people are worried about his hamstring issue. Guys, we're going to hear stuff like this every single day about fantasy-relevant players until the season starts. I wouldn't panic about that too much. The season is a long way away. He's going to take it a little bit easy at practice, maybe miss two or three practices, but you shouldn't move him down your draft board whatsoever. He's going to be ready to go. Would you agree with that assessment, Tags?
As for Calvin Ridley, it's definitely not ideal to hear about that injury news. But, you know, fortunately, it's early enough in the preseason where it's like they're not going to rush him back or anything like that. Julio Jones has already said that he's not playing at all in the preseason. It wouldn't shock me if Ridley is not out there at all in the preseason. Limited play for Mohamed Sanu. Like, these are veterans that have been around for a long time. They know what they're doing. So it doesn't really worry me that much. If it was like week three of the preseason and he injured a hamstring, that's more worrisome to me. But to miss a couple preseason games, I'm not really that worried.
Well, now, what about Derrick Henry? This seems a little bit more serious. They're planning on holding him out for 2 weeks, Tags, with this calf injury.
Yeah, I am a little worried about him. I was already worried about him, like, coming into the year. Like, this is a running back that obviously, you know, we were looking for him to get a bigger role in the passing game, which they've talked about. We're going to ride Derrick Henry. Well, it's not great when he suffers an injury the first week of training camp and is forced to miss a couple weeks. Now they're rotating running backs in and out, trying to see who they can mix in as a starter with Derrick Henry out of the lineup. He's someone that I actually am worried about because he was someone that comes with a lot of risk even when you draft him at his current ADP. I mean, he's going up as the, I think it was the running back 15 or running back 16 the last I saw, ahead of guys like Devonta Freeman, ahead of Kerryon Johnson, even Josh Jacobs you could throw into that.
Ahead of Leonard Fournette in a lot of cases.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. I mean, I wouldn't take him there. Granted, Fournette has had his own injury issues, but Fournette has been much more productive when on the field.
Fournette's got to carry the ball 20 times every game if he's healthy.
I'm going to be doing the boom bust and everything in between article series next week, and I think people are going to be shocked when they see just how good Leonard Fournette has been when he's on the field throughout his career compared to like some of the all-time greats, because he has been really good. It's just a matter of staying healthy, whereas Derrick Henry has flashed at times, but there is nowhere even close to the consistency that Fournette has done it, and Henry's not even close to the best pass-catching running back on his team.
So I want to say this about Derrick Henry's injury. A lot of times when people hear a calf strain, they think about, oh, I've played sports, I've hurt my calf a little bit. It's a lot different if you're playing every single day, and especially the wear and tear you get on their body. I mean, not only are you getting nailed by huge guys on the football field, but Derrick Henry's 240 pounds. He's got to carry that with his calves. You remember Kawhi Leonard when he held out with the San Antonio Spurs? If you guys follow basketball, he didn't really hold out. He was just saying, you guys are trying to rush me back. I'm not going to play. And then the same thing happened to Kevin Durant. He played with this calf injury, and he ruptured his Achilles tendon. This is what can happen if they rush Derrick Henry back. I don't want to be optimistic about this. I'd move Derrick Henry down to my running back 21 behind Sony Michel, Josh Jacobs, Chris Carson. I don't want anything to do with him with this injury. It scares me to death, Tags.
I didn't own any shares before then. I mean, of all the best ball leagues I'd done, I might have a couple shares of Derrick Henry just because I don't want to be left in the dust when those big weeks do happen. But I just don't have much faith in the Titans as a team. Like, they play in a much tougher division now.
They'll find a way to make the playoffs. It's what the Titans do.
Well, I mean, they've lost Taylor Lewan. Their starting left tackle is going to be out for the first 4 weeks. He got suspended. You know, Derrick Henry now has this injury. There's just things popping up concerning all the time. They have some of the better pass catchers that they've had in a long time. Some of the touchdowns that Derrick Henry may have gotten in the past might go to some of those guys. So, I wasn't high on him before, and this definitely doesn't help.
So let's say something does happen to Derrick Henry, okay? Would Deion Lewis fill in as the workhorse running back, or do you think it would be David Flewlin, Jeremy McNichols, Alex Barnes is the one that catches my attention. He is an athlete.
I don't like Barnes at all. I actually, you know, a lot of people, he was getting a lot of hype this offseason going into the draft, and some people were saying that he was like a guy that he was a sleeper, and I watched multiple games because I heard like people telling me that he was better than I thought, and I was like, I'll watch more, and I didn't see it. Not to say that everybody else is wrong, but, and I could also tell you that Travis May was out at the Titans camp the last few days, and
he knows his stuff, man.
Yeah, and he said that every running back on the roster except Alex Barnes has gotten starter reps with Derrick Henry out. So he's not the guy. It would definitely be Deion Lewis. It would be somewhat of a timeshare, though. But Lewis is a solid pass catcher. Obviously, he carried the load with the Patriots before, so he's able to do that. So Deion Lewis would definitely be the one. And Deion Lewis actually right now is probably being undervalued in drafts. Like, he was a guy who last year, he saw, I think it was just over 10 touches per game in that offense. Actually, 13.4 touches per game last year. Even if that comes down a smidge, 10 touches a game is still worth something. It could be a flex starter from time to time.
I agree with that. So we are going to be talking about draft strategy here in just a moment. I mentioned we're going to be talking about best ball leagues as well. So I want to tell you about the best place to play best ball leagues. Tags and I are all over draft. Fantasy football fans, listen up. If you want to join the biggest NFL season-long tournament ever, of course you do, right? If you love fantasy football, and we know you do, then you need to enter the $3.5 million Best Ball Championship on Draft. That's right, $3.5 million in real money. It is huge, guys. Here's how Best Ball works. It's season-long, but with no management. Just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. You don't even have to set your lineup. Your best players get automatically started, and you'll get your best score every week guaranteed. No salary caps. You play in a real live snake draft, just like the ones you play in with your friends in a season-long league. There's no better place to play. You can draft a team anytime you want. Leagues start every couple minutes, so you can just join one right now. Just do a draft, and you can be a millionaire 16 weeks later. It doesn't get any easier than that. Join me on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in the app or Play Store and join a game in minutes. Or play right now from your computer on draft.com, whatever you want. Right now, all new players get a free entry into a best ball draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word. That's right, play a real money game for free just by using promo code FANTASYPROS on your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to draft.com and come play free with promo code FANTASYPROS. All right, Tags, time to talk about some strategies. And like I mentioned, I'm going to lay this out for you, okay? We're going to talk about a lot of things, going to be comprehensive. Snake redraft strategies, two quarterback strategies, auction strategies, dynasty strategies, best ball strategies at the end. We're going to hit it all up. Now let's talk about some of these popular ideas. Late round quarterback. Do you agree with this idea, Tags? And can you explain what it is?
Yeah, late round quarterback is one strategy that I can actually get on board with, because I'm going to be known as like the grump of this episode, because I'm like, I'm team no strategy. And, you know, we're going to talk about why as we get into the strategies we're going through today. But
Well, I mean, your strategy is a strategy. It's just take the best value.
Yeah.
Period. And that wins. That's a strategy.
Yeah, I'm a value guy 100%. But the thing is like the way I explain to people when it comes to any sort of strategy is that the issue, it's almost like, you know, pretend you're the head coach of a team, the NFL team. This is the easiest way for me to explain it. Walking into every single game that you play and having the same exact game plan, not attacking the other the opponent's weakness, not, you know, not saying we're going to be more run heavy this game because this is where this defense lacks. We're going to be pass heavy in this matchup. It's all these things that come together. And you don't ever want to approach a draft the same exact way every single time. You have to understand who it is you're drafting against. That's one. You have to understand, like, you have to go with the flow of the game. Like, if you went into a game plan saying, we're going to throw the ball just 20 times this game, we're going to run the crap out of it. Well, when you fall behind 21 points, that better change your plan. So, you know, I always remain fluid when it comes to drafts. And the late round quarterback one is the one that could work most often. And I say that because the quarterback position, so many people are going to buy into Patrick Mahomes this year. So many people buy into last year's stats, and it never works. You could find quarterbacks like Matt Ryan, who went outside the top 10 last year. You could find quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes, who went outside the top 10 rounds last year. Every single year this happens, yet people think that they need to reach for, you know, the number one or number two quarterback in their rankings this year. You don't have to, because there's going to be guys outside that. Now, I do want to be transparent in this and tell people that streaming quarterbacks does not work in every league. And that's the one part that I can't stand that people say, oh, just stream quarterbacks, you'll be fine, like no matter what. That's not true either, because there are some leagues that I play in personally, like some of my home leagues, which, by the way, dominate like 80% of the industry. People will draft backup quarterbacks. And sometimes, I kid you not, some people will grab three quarterbacks just to screw other owners. Is that the right strategy? No, but it screws over those who want to stream quarterbacks, which means you're going to be left choosing between Sam Darnold and, you know, Derek Carr, maybe. These are not guys that you want to put in your lineup every single week. So can you stream successfully in a league that only, you know, 12 to 15 quarterbacks are owned? Abso-friggin-lutely. Can you do it in a league where there's 24 to 26 quarterbacks owned? Probably not, and it's probably going to hold you back. So understand your league when it comes to this, but the quarterback is such a replaceable position, especially if there's some available on the waiver wire.
So Tags does his boom, bust, and everything in between series, which is incredible. If you want to look it up, it is going to enhance your fantasy football performance substantially. It's great work, Tags. And you know what he explains is, how often is a player actually a top 12 QB? And even like the QB4, QB5, most years, sits at 50%. If you look at the top streamer that you can pick up every week, whoever's going up against the Bucks or the Chiefs or something along those lines, they tend to be top 12 more often than that QB5, like Tom Brady. Tom Brady's always been a very good fantasy football quarterback. He's only been elite a couple years because he just doesn't run as much. He's a much better real-life quarterback, but he's always been very good in fantasy football, and he just doesn't produce QB12 numbers often enough that you can rely on him week to week when you could just pick up a streamer in a lot of leagues. And so that's what this late round quarterback is about, is, hey, you can wait in these more competitive leagues and you can get yourself a Dak Prescott. And he's going to be a QB12. He's going to be a top 12 QB probably the first 3 weeks because of his matchups. And then you know what? You drop him and you pick up Mitch Trubisky, or you pick up Kirk Cousins, and then you do the same thing over and over again. That way you're not wasting precious draft capital on guys who you know are going to get volume, and volume at wide receiver and running back comes with those consistent top 24 running back, top 36 wide receiver performances. And if you're clogging up your team with these quarterbacks in the early rounds, it can really kill you. Now, with that said, Tags and I think there's a certain point where there is value. If Patrick Mahomes drops to the fifth round, yeah, sign me up. It's not going to happen, though. He's going to end up going in the second round in a lot of leagues. Now, Aaron Rodgers is a case, Tags, where he's actually dropping to where we would be willing to take him. So we actually both have quite a few shares, right?
Yes, we absolutely do. And like that's a stat I wanted to share, is that I like that you mentioned the boom, bust, and everything in between, which, again, it's coming out next week for this season. So every year, I do this research, and every year, Bobby, do you know how many quarterbacks actually produce top 12 numbers more than like 50% of the time? On average, how many quarterbacks do you think do that?
I'd guess four.
There's usually 4 to 5 quarterbacks who will do that, and it's not the same every single year. But one of those that is the same every single year is pretty much Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers is continually, like, last year was 50%. It was like the worst year.
And he had a broken leg, dude.
Yep. His career mark is just under 63% now. So basically, he's the guy that continually gets it done. Does he come with the massive upside that some of these other guys do? Maybe not, because he doesn't run the ball as much as someone like, you know, Deshaun Watson, which is like, I like Watson this year. But again, it all comes down to price relative to where you're getting them. And if you're going to tell me that you're going to draft someone like Golden Tate over Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to tell you you're dumb. And I have no issue doing that, because I know that like Golden Tate's not going to produce as a wide receiver two or better 60-something% of the time.
Well, Andy's suspended.
Well, he's facing a 4-game suspension, yeah. But that's the thing, is Rodgers is continually one of those quarterbacks, and that's the only reason I'm willing to take him there. And like that, I think the sixth round is a fair price for Aaron Rodgers right now, and I'm getting him there more often than not.
Aaron Rodgers has now played 7 seasons where he was entirely healthy the whole season. QB2, QB1, QB2, QB1, QB2, QB1, QB1. And not just QB1, but I'm looking at VBD, which is value-based drafting. So his fantasy points above the QB13, how much better is he than the quote-unquote replacement level quarterback? And overall, compared to running backs and wide receivers, he's been number 11, 4, 17, 1, 9, 12, and 4. When Aaron Rodgers is healthy, he gives you the value of a first-round pick. Now, you don't want to draft him there because you can get a Patrick Mahomes sometimes. You can get a Matt Ryan, these guys that do break out. It's a lot easier to find those guys. And so that's why I think one of the reasons I think VBD isn't perfect, but Aaron Rodgers has produced well above his ADP every time he's been healthy. It is a risk, but you know what? If you get him in the sixth round and you end up having a stream, so what? You're just wasting a sixth round pick. It's not as big of a deal as Patrick Mahomes in the second or third round.
Now, here, answer this, because this is the question I get a lot. Okay, what if I'm in my home league draft and all of a sudden I'm in the third round and there's eight quarterbacks off the board? I feel like I'm panicking and I need to take one.
I wouldn't do it, just because I think that after these, let's say Mahomes, Watson, Luck, Rodgers, and Ryan, I feel like there's a pretty big drop off, and then Baker Mayfield, Cam Newton. And then after that, I've got Jameis Winston in that tier, but you could get him a lot later. After that, everyone from 9 to 22 is about the same. You might as well wait, because then maybe people will stop drafting quarterbacks, and you can still get quarterback 17, who's what? Lamar Jackson, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo. I'd be fine with any of those guys as my quarterback rather than taking him in the third round. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely agree. And I was about to say, like, I'm glad that was your answer, because that's what I tell people. I'm like, don't panic.
You were ready to fight me, weren't you? You were thinking I was going to say something different.
No, it just means that you're going to get more value with running back and wide receivers and maybe even a tight end. So no, absolutely take the value that's presented to you. Now, when it gets to the point where there's like 15, 16 quarterbacks off the board, that's when you probably need to grab one, because then you're probably able to snag a Trubisky, a Dak Prescott, a Lamar Jackson. I'm fine starting any of those three. And if you're really like hell bent over it and you're like, I really don't know if I really trust them, at the end of your draft, snag one other quarterback. That's fine. Like, I'm not one of those analysts that is going to rip people for drafting a backup quarterback. Do I think it's a waste? Most of the time, yeah. But at the same time, it's like, if it makes you feel better, that's what I care about. So, you know, drafting one of those guys, I think you're going to be perfectly fine. I think they all present a solid floor. But even going down to like I have Phillip Rivers ranked as my number 18 quarterback. I mean, I know he's going to finish better than that because he's going to remain healthy. I'm okay starting him. I have no issue starting Phillip Rivers. So wait at quarterback. Like, the longest I would want to wait is probably like, you know, you don't want to be stuck with anybody outside the top 20. That's kind of where I'm at.
I agree. And it's really interesting, by the way, Tom Brady's going to be in the top 12 quarterbacks drafted. And ECR, which is our expert consensus rankings found at fantasypros.com/rankings, takes 100 plus experts in the industry and mash all the rankings together and say, this is what the industry analysts think about a quarterback. They've got him QB 21. So I wouldn't be happy getting Tom Brady, but I'd love to get Kirk Cousins, who's going outside the top 20 quarterbacks.
Yeah, over the last 2 years, Tom Brady, with Rob Gronkowski, by the way, has been a QB1, like a top 12 performer, just 46% of the time.
Yeah. All right, so Tags, if you're drafting late-round quarterback, obviously we like Rodgers at a certain point. I'd like Matt Ryan in the ninth round. Sometimes he drops there. Beyond that, though, who do you like as your late-round quarterback?
Yeah, I mentioned that. Like, Jameis Winston's an awesome one. Like, we've talked about on this show enough where I think our listeners are going to be drafting him probably before they need to, because, like, the general public hates Jameis Winston. Like, understand that. Like, know your league mates and understand how they draft. And, you know, some people that, like, legitimately, they don't do any draft research until, you know, a couple days before their draft. Those are the guys that are going to overlook Jameis Winston. They're going to look at a ranking sheet and see him at number 10 or number 9 or wherever, and they're going to be like, this guy's a moron. He shouldn't be up in the top 10. And then he's going to be sorry that he didn't draft him, because every single analyst we've talked to is high on Jameis Winston. But again, Lamar Jackson's going to have a high floor. Even if he gets hurt for whatever reason, you could snag someone. Kyler Murray is someone that's going to come with a high floor. I think Trubisky.
I think his ADP is going to be a little bit too high for my taste.
I agree. I think he's been climbing nonstop, and it's like, when does this end? But someone like Mitch Trubisky, who I believe, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I think he offers top six quarterback upside this year with his rushing capability and the passing chops in year two of Matt Nagy's offense.
He's Cam Newton with better passing than Cam Newton, a little bit less running than Cam Newton. I think that he's a very solid bet. Now, he's going to have some big boom games and some other games where he doesn't do quite as much, which is why I shy off of him a little bit more towards Kirk Cousins or Lamar Jackson. But Dak Prescott is right there too. I feel like if you're going late round quarterback, you need one of two types of guys. We talked about this last year. Either the guy that you want to stream in week one, and that's Dak Prescott. You look at his upcoming matchups and they are golden. He goes up against the Giants. He goes up against Washington. He goes up against Miami to start the season. That's really hot. I want all of those matchups, right? And I'm doing the same for Dallas defense and Dallas kickers. Or you want to go with someone who's got a lot of upside. Like last year, Tags, I remember in this very episode, you said Patrick Mahomes. And if it doesn't work out, so what? You cut him and you pick up Kirk Cousins. And if it does work out, maybe you've got yourself a top three quarterback, or maybe the greatest quarterback of all time in fantasy football.
I promise you that if your league drafts, you know, 16 quarterbacks on average, like let's say that some people grab backup quarterbacks, some don't, I promise you, you are going to find a top 10 quarterback on the waiver wire.
Yep. I agree with that, man. I think it's going to be Kirk Cousins this year.
It could be. It very well could be. And he's one of those guys that I'm okay starting. Like, that's what I'm saying. As long as you get a top 20 quarterback, you should feel fine.
Is there somebody that you think has a lot of upside that we haven't really talked about? I know a lot of people would ask about Marcus Mariota. Is he someone that you could see? Derek Carr was drafted as a top five fantasy quarterback just a couple years ago. Now he's got Antonio Brown. Offensive line's improved. He's not playing with a broken back anymore.
I'm chasing quarterbacks that, like, if you're looking for upside, you're looking for quarterbacks that are tied to a high-scoring offense. And it's really tough for me to get behind someone like a Josh Allen, because Buffalo's not going to be a high-scoring offense. Hard for me to get behind Tennessee. I just don't see them as that team. Oakland, you know, like, I just don't think they're going to drastically change because they added Antonio Brown. You know, the Bengals, I mean, that's more about two quarterback formats, but if you're looking in QB1, we've hit on a lot of those guys.
Yeah, if you want a real sleeper, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. It looks like he's running away with the starting job, and for good reason. He's a good quarterback. He's going to throw a lot of interceptions. Who cares in fantasy, though? If he eclipses 5,000 passing yards, I said this before, if you extrapolate his quarters, how many quarters he played out to a full 16-game season, 5,800 passing yards, 45 touchdowns, just absolutely bonkers numbers. Now, granted, he doesn't have the same weapons in Miami as Tampa, probably not the same offensive scheme. What I'm saying is he can still be a quarterback one, and right now he's going as quarterback 34 in drafts. That's going to climb up once everyone realizes he's the starter, but he's someone to keep an eye on, especially for two quarterback leagues. And Tags, I want to talk about those two quarterback leagues. We don't talk about them as often enough, in my opinion. I know only 20% of the industry out there is playing two quarterback leagues, and that's growing each year. But for those of you who want to know, Tags, what do you do with these two quarterback leagues? Do you take a quarterback in the first round? Do you need two of them in the first five rounds? How do you handle them?
Yeah, and again, this comes into remaining fluid with your draft, like understanding that some people, like if you're playing in a home league with a two quarterback league, they're probably going to come off the board fast. So the way that I strategize those leagues is I basically look at it and say, okay, I do not want to go outside these top, let's say it's top, like I'm looking at my rankings right now actually, and I'd say I feel comfortable with any of the top 26 starting quarterbacks. I don't want to go into Darnold, I don't want to go into Foles, I don't want to go into Manning or Keenum or anybody like that. So the top 26 quarterbacks, I want to have two of those guys on my roster, and I really don't care how it happens, because I don't need to grab one of the top quarterbacks. No, if I'm at the fifth pick overall, and you know, let's say Patrick Mahomes and Andrew Luck come off the board before me, I don't feel the rush. I don't feel the need to grab a quarterback at that number five pick.
You can probably get Aaron Rodgers in the second, to be honest.
Yeah, you might be able to. But then let's pretend that, you know, that you do take a running back there. All right. And you're happy about it. You feel great. And then all of a sudden that league, that snake comes around, and it's like all of a sudden 12 quarterbacks are gone. It's important that you snag one. Okay. It's really important that you snag one, because you don't want to be left in the dirt with two back end QB2s. Like, that's not where you want to end up. So,
yeah. Remember when we did that mock draft last year? We did a two quarterback mock draft podcast. And I just wanted to test this strategy. Like, how long can I actually wait on quarterback? And it was way too late. And I ended up with some really crappy quarterbacks and just got destroyed by Tags in a mock draft, which hasn't happened a long time. So I don't really remember the feeling. By the way, did you lose any mock drafts while I was gone?
I didn't do any without you. I'm waiting until you come back to do that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll need to do one soon, man. So
yeah, for sure.
I agree with that. That you just need to watch the runs and be careful not to get left in the dust. I also don't think that you want to start the runs necessarily, just because who knows, maybe you're in a league that doesn't realize the value of a two quarterback league, and you can get Aaron Rodgers in the fourth round. Something along those lines. It just really depends on what happens in your league and how people handle it. And you don't really want to show your hand too early. Just make sure you're safe and grab some quarterbacks. I would actually advise you to get three quarterbacks that aren't going to lose their job. Like, who knows if Eli Manning's going to hang on to his job with Daniel Jones there. I think that Joe Flacco is actually safe. I wouldn't mind getting him. I just want three quarterbacks that I know are going to be the starters.
I kind of feel that way in a two quarterback league, but if it's like a super flex, I don't feel as strongly. I feel like you can grab two quarterbacks and then like the third one that you snag for your roster, because you definitely want to roster a third one. That could be someone, you know, that could earn the starting job, like a Daniel Jones. Like last year, I had Baker Mayfield on a few super flex teams because I felt like at some point he was going to walk in as the starter. So that's how I feel. But in two quarterback leagues,
or you can just go Case Keenum and Dwayne Haskins, and then you know you've got a starter.
Correct. You could do something like that, or like a Fitzpatrick and Rosen, but I don't really know if you want to tie yourself to that. But yeah, that's basically how I feel about two quarterback formats. And like, to be fair, like talking about like the drafts that I've done, I typically have at least one quarterback by the third round. And sometimes I might have two quarterbacks by the end of the fourth round. That might happen. It just depends on how the draft is flowing and how I see things going. But in like the Scott Fish Bowl that we did, that one, I took Rodgers in the, it was like middle to the end of the second round, and quarterbacks didn't have a run. So I basically took Rodgers and I kind of waited and waited because I was like, I'm just going to grab one more quarterback before the final 24. And I waited. I think I got my second quarterback in like the sixth round. And I was ecstatic about it because basically everybody was devaluing quarterbacks. So if you have a league like that.
Everyone was so excited about tight ends, which made no sense to me.
Right. Yeah. It's okay to get one of those top tier guys. Like the only top tier guys that I feel confident in, like repeating this year, like Mahomes, Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, and Andrew Luck. I mean, Baker Mayfield, Matt Ryan, Jared Goff. I like those guys. I like Jameis Winston, but I won't say that they're like locks to be a top three fantasy quarterback or anything like that.
I agree with that. All right, Tags. So we do have the Beat Tags draft contest coming up again. And I think three or four of them got you last time. I don't know if you're going to let that happen this time, though, because you've been getting some, you know, some people making fun of you on the Slack channel here with our Fantasy Pros team. So you guys are going to have to bring it this time. But we're doing a Beat Tags draft contest on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/fantasypros. If you want to enter this, it's fantasypros.com/draft contest. And you'll be drafting live on our YouTube channel against Tags. The winner's going to get something too, right, Tags?
Yeah, and we've actually been giving away things in the chat as well. So even if you don't get invited into the contest, understand that if you come into the chat, they do some things like guessing my pick, guessing how mad I'm going to get if this player goes, whatever the case may be. But they do a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, just come watch and I'll be in there in the chat making fun of Tags too and commenting on some picks and everything and just chatting it up and answering your questions as well. So it'll be a fun time.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so go to youtube.com/fantasypros to do that. And while you're there, if you don't mind subscribing, it does really help us out since we're kind of new to the YouTube space and trying to get noticed there a little bit. So, Tex, I get this question all the time. What if my league has different settings, like 6 points for a passing touchdown or, you know, a point per carry? How do you deal with that? Like, how do you plan for that?
So when it comes to the 6 point passing touchdowns, it really doesn't affect too much. If anything, it hurts the mobile quarterbacks because obviously those are the guys that aren't passing for too many touchdowns, like Lamar Jackson. I'd be shocked if he threw for more than like 22 touchdowns this year. That's really going to hurt him in the 6 point passing touchdown ones. So understand that you give a slight bump to the guys that throw the touchdowns, not aren't as mobile. You take away some stock from the guys that are more mobile quarterbacks, but it doesn't completely change my draft strategy because, again, I'm okay with quarterbacks that are inside the top 20 because I feel like they're going to be competent enough where the rest of my roster will make up for that difference. But when it comes to like the leagues where you get points per carry, that's massive. I don't think people realize just how big that is for the workhorse running backs. Like if you're looking, obviously in the first round, everybody wants to grab running backs now, but guys like Leonard Fournette, they get much, much more appealing when you go into that type of format. You guys like Dalvin Cook, because we know he's going to be a workhorse. You know, like these are the guys like Chris Carson, the guys that play on teams that are extremely run heavy. They have so much value. I don't think anybody realizes just the impact that that has on the league scoring, which is why when we talked about the cheat sheet creator earlier, we actually have formats for that. Like you could plug in 0.2 points per rush and it will spit out cheat sheets based on how you should approach your draft.
I was going to say, Tags, you went all theoretical, but you did circle back around and hit up the cheat code, which is, I say, the auction calculator. Like, you can put it in for the cheat sheets as well, but I like to see the actual dollar values and then translate those into my rankings. You can customize everything. You can see just how much the values are. That way you can see where the tiers are, how you want to handle things, and it does all the work for you. If you've got weird settings, I'm sorry, you have to get premium because it will give you a huge advantage over your league. It will pay for itself probably in the winnings because it's just a major advantage. Nobody else is going to be doing this stuff.
Yep, and even when it comes to Superflex, if you're trying a league with a new setting this year and you're just not sure how to approach it, you know, and like we're talking about a lot of that stuff today, but if you're still unsure, I would definitely say to check that out.
So, Tags, a lot of people are talking about the zero running back thing, and this was more of a hot topic a couple years ago. It's kind of cooled off. Can you explain what it is?
Yeah, the idea with zero running back was to basically ignore the running back position early in your drafts. And to be a true, you know, zero running back guy, you basically wouldn't select a running back for the first five rounds. Like you could start after that. You know, some people would actually wait until the eighth, ninth, 10th rounds to draft their first running back.
And then they would just get the pass catchers, mostly in a PPR league. They'd go get, you know, a Chris Thompson, a Nyheim Hines, and just, you know, ride out that consistency every week. And then the rest of their team is stacked, but it's a huge disadvantage. You can't do this if you want to win, right, Tags?
in a league that's moving towards more of a timeshare league, it's okay to do it after you get outside the workhorse territory. Because once you're outside the top, you know, maybe 13 running backs that we know are locked into like 200 plus carries. Like these guys, as long as they're on the field, they're getting those carries. Once you get outside that tier, there's a whole lot of timeshares. And basically what the timeshares do is they allow for value later in your drafts. Instead of taking even just the third down guys, you could go with, you know, some high value handcuffs and just be waiting for that injury. And what you do is you start those third down guys like a James White last year, right? Nobody drafted James White last year thinking this guy's going to be an RB1. They thought he's going to be passable, you know, until there's an injury and I'm going to be able to put someone else in. Fortunately, he wound up being, you know, phenomenal. So when I typically, if you want to play that zero running back strategy, I do a modified one. If you'd want to do it at all, I would say get one of the top 12 running backs. And then if you want to go zero running back and say, I'm not going to draft one until the, you know, the sixth or seventh round, I say that's more viable because that
it's still ugly, but I agree.
Yeah. But at least you have that one workhorse that you know is going to get those carries every single week. And then you can kind of piece things together behind that. You could look at the matchups and say, okay, Deion Lewis is going to be good this week because the Titans are going to lose this game. Chris Thompson is probably going to be more involved in this game because the Redskins, they're going to fall behind. There's a lot of things that you could look at, and there's always going to be injuries. Like you have to be active, very active on the waiver wire. Like, granted, you want to grab those high value handcuffs like a Damian Harris, like a Daryl Henderson. These are guys that are big zero running back targets, because if something happens to the starter, they all of a sudden aren't zero running back anymore. They have some studs in their lineup.
So Tags, you're a lot different than me, and you say, I want a top 12 running back and a top 12 wide receiver, and if I don't have that, I don't feel comfortable. And I think that's good. I'd like to have that, but my strategy differs in that I want the three best players in the first round that I can possibly get regardless of position, unless it's two tight ends, obviously, because that's just stupid. But if that means I get three running backs and one of them's my flex, so what? I can adjust later in the draft. If that means I get three wide receivers, it gets a little bit sketchy. And this is why I say have a grasp on what it looks like to get a running back. Now, I would go get one in the fourth round. I'd go get Latavius Murray. And I'd be really happy. And then I'd circle back around and get James White in the fifth, reach for him a little bit. I wouldn't feel great about that team, but you know what? There's so much of a difference in value between picks 6 and 7. That gap is bigger than the difference between picks 70 and 90 in terms of VBD, if you look at it every single year. And so I just want the best value, period, and I'll adjust later. So I like to have a plan of what would happen if I wait at running back. And I already mentioned it. Latavius Murray's a guy I'd love to have. I think he's safe with big upside. I'd love to have James White, but if you're doing one of these, we're drafting not a running back in the first round, you're looking at the best guys on the board, Darius Geis, Royce Freeman. And the only way I would advise you to handle this is not to go with these pass catchers. I would go all upside. I would draft Royce Freeman. I'd draft Rashad Penny. I'd draft Daryl Henderson. I'd draft Austin Eckler in case Melvin Gordon does hold out. I'd draft Matt Breida. I would draft Damian Harris. All these guys. I would draft 9 running backs, and I'm not exaggerating. And you say, if I draft 9 of these high upside guys and 3 of them hit, you know what? I've got really good running backs, and it didn't cost me all that much, and the rest of my team is stacked. I think that's the only way you can win with zero RB. It's still too risky for me, though.
Yeah, I think ideally in a draft, I wind up with a top 12 running back and a top 12 receiver. But, you know, I've had scenarios like that people have asked me about recently and saying, let's say your league drafts running backs, you know, for the first 8 picks, and you're sitting there at the number 10 pick, and you can get Julio Jones and Odell Beckham. I'll take those two, and then I'm going to hammer running back with the next 2 picks most likely, just because I feel like it's putting me behind the 8 ball, and I just need to increase my odds of hitting it on at least one of those running backs, whether it be Aaron Jones, whether it be Leonard Fournette.
Well, if you're picking at the 3-4 turn, I'm sorry, Tags. Aaron Jones and Leonard Fournette are gone. So what are you doing? You going Devontae Freeman and Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go Josh Jacobs. There's just a little bit too much unproven there for me. But if we go into Devonta Freeman, that's fine. Like a Marlon Mack, at least I know that there's upside there. I mean, it may not be RB1 potential, like a Kerryon Johnson.
I think Mack's gone too, man. I think that you are being a little more optimistic than you usually are. I think it's Freeman, and you've got to choose between Josh Jacobs, Sony Michel, Chris Carson, Derrick Henry, Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah, I was looking at it now, and it's like the ADP on these guys, like Aaron Jones is 31, so he's mid to late third round. Fournette's 32, Marlon Mack's 33, and then you have Kerryon at 38, Kerryon's fine. Philip Lindsay, I think that's, I would start looking Philip Lindsay's way there as well. I think people are underestimating Philip Lindsay this year.
Yeah, I think I'd be fine. I hate that. You know, if you're picking wide receiver at the 1-2 turn, and then you've got those running backs, it just sucks because it's like, okay, I can probably get Devontae Freeman. If he's gone, though, I've got to reach for some guys that I love. I might have to get James White. I might have to get a Latavius Murray, and then I'm drafting them way above their ADP, and it just feels like a waste.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, and that's why I so hate drafting on the turn, and I know a lot of people love it. I don't know why they do. I'm not the type to start trends. I want to take value when it's presented.
Well, it's because there's only 15 players that I would really like, and I'm getting two of them if I draft at the turn, but then it's like, well, I don't have a running back. I guess I could reach for Dalvin Cook. Some people are going to go Le'Veon Bell there, maybe even James Conner or Joe Mixon. I think those two are not good calls. Dalvin Cook still feels like a reach if I'm picking at 13, though.
Yeah, it kind of does. But that's the thing is, like, when you're on the ends of the draft, that's where it gets tough because you sometimes have to reach for your guys and it just hurts.
I guess I'm forgetting the fact that Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon are both going to be there. I've got them 6 and 9 on my board respectively. But if I had 12 and 13, I could get Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon. Oh, baby, I'm all for it.
Yeah, dude, I was looking at this, and again, we're talking about an article that's going to come out next week, but Todd Gurley, in his games that he played last year, he scored 25 or more PPR points in 64.3% of his games. Like, that's considered a boom, okay? he boomed more than Dalvin Cook was an RB2 or better.
Yeah, I mean, Dalvin Cook was like, they didn't really use him the way that they're going to this year.
You could say that, but I'm just saying that.
It is risky. It's risky.
Yeah, like he had more boom performances than Alvin Kamara had RB1 performances. Like it just basically just goes to show that Todd Gurley can lose some of his upside and still be a top five running back. Like,
and Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown can both be viable. I mean, this Rams offense has so much upside for the running backs that you could actually use all three every week in the flex.
I don't know if I'm going that far. I don't know if I'm going that far, but Melvin Gordon is someone that's concerning me. The longer he holds out, the more I'm concerned. It seems like Zeke, that's going to get worked out. Like, it seems like Jerry Jones is going to pay him. That's going to happen. But Melvin Gordon is starting to concern me.
I should have said maybe. You're right. It's a maybe. It's possible. Kind of like what the Patriots do with all their running backs, right? You could use Rex Burkhead along with James White and Sony Michel.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely a time where you could do that. And this year might even be more viable, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Tags, what do you think about bye weeks? Everyone's always asking, hey, does it bother you if you've got players on the same team?
Ignore them.
Does it matter if you have, you know, 6 guys on week 11 bye? I actually think that helps. Just completely ignore it, right?
Ignore bye. I legit, when I am drafting, I do not look at a bye week. Unless you're like in a best ball league, which we're not talking about right now. We're talking about draft strategies in like regular leagues. You do not look at bye weeks. And ideally, when you draft your team and all is said and done, you look at it and you're like, wow, I have 5 guys who are on bye week in week 10. That's awesome. Because guess what? That means you just get it all out of the system. But I know personally, my team never looks the same at the end of the year as it did at the beginning. There's always trades. There's waiver wire moves, everything. So no, do not. I can care less about bye weeks.
What about the question of, oh no, I've got 4 Green Bay Packers. Do I need to trade one or should I not draft Geronimo Allison because I've already got these guys? What do you think?
When you're tied to a high scoring offense, it's not a bad thing. Okay, so let's pretend that you had last year that you had Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Robert Woods, and Brandon Cooks. I think you're pretty happy with that.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
The downside is if you draft 4 Jets, you have serious issues and you need to stop playing fantasy football. If you draft... You know, if you draft 4 Jaguars, you probably have serious issues and you should probably consult a doctor. But when it comes to like high scoring offenses, like you have no issue with owning Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Damian Williams and Tyreek Hill. Like, you know, understand the offenses that you're going after. Don't reach to have that because it's capping your upside on a week to week basis. But if you're attached to a high scoring offense, I have absolutely zero problem with it.
I understand the question and it's a very good question. And the answer is bye weeks don't matter. Same team doesn't matter. Strength of schedule doesn't matter. I don't think so, at least. For these wide receivers, like in past years, I remember we said Dez Bryant 2 years ago. Wow, look at his schedule. He's going up against these stud cornerbacks that lock on every single week. Fade him. And it was kind of the same thing with AJ Green this year, except he was being undervalued so much that he was still a good value. Now, obviously, you can say in hindsight he was going to get injured. I don't think you can predict that. So, you know, whatever to those people. But strength of schedule, do you agree? Ignore it pretty much.
I ignore it for most positions. Wide receiver is the one position that I will not ignore it. And the reason I say that is because, you know, every year we talk about wide receivers, right? Like we know who's good. We know who's not. an entire defense changes, you know, like defenses change and it's going to change the scheme and all that stuff. So you can't like have a strength of schedule based on, you know, a running back because he's facing all 11 members of that defense. But wide receivers, especially the top dogs, like the guys that are the alphas, okay, these are the guys that we know they're going to see the top cornerback on the other team. So if we can judge a wide receiver's talent level, why can't we judge, you know, cornerback talent levels? You know, why can't we do that? Because, you know, those guys don't change year over year. They're still going to be asked to cover in man. There's a lot of issues. So that's where I will.
And there's always five, six, seven of them who are great on their island and you don't want to mess with them. And it tends to be the same guys every single year. So you can project that a little bit.
Yeah. And that's where I say, I don't let it dictate my rankings at all. But if you're stuck in between, you know, two players, that's what I'll use as a tiebreaker.
All right. I want to ask you one more question about redraft, you know, snake draft leagues. When do you target tight ends tags? Because it is really ugly after those top five.
It really is. And once you get outside that top five, or actually six is where I feel confident in, like one of those top six tight ends, that's when it's like you kind of play it by ear. And it's like Vance McDonald. Okay, I like him. I have him as a top 10 tight end this year. But am I going to reach for him in the sixth round because I want a top 10 tight end? No, I'm not. But if he falls, like let's say he falls to like, you know, the ninth round or something like that, I'll grab him there. If not, you could stream the position. Like it's a really streamable position. There's a few players that I like later that may not present the upside of a top five tight end, but I know they're going to be relatively consistent. Like I feel like Trey Burton is a fine late round guy this year. I think Jimmy Graham is going to offer more touchdown potential. Delanie Walker, he's been the glue for Marcus Mariota. You know, things fell apart last year. Maybe it had to do with Walker not being there. You know, Austin Hooper is fine. Jordan Reed, when healthy, is good. Jack Doyle. Like, there's a lot of names that we can go through and just say, you could find someone to make it happen. The only guys that I would actually, like, make it a point to, like, draft inside the top, like, five or six rounds would be Kelsey, Kittle, Ertz, O.J. Howard, Evan Engram, and then Hunter Henry, maybe. I think Henry is somebody that I'm really torn on because he has flashed in small spurts, but he did it alongside Antonio Gates.
It's a small sample size, man. And he didn't have Mike Williams to compete with.
Correct. And Mike Williams is a real red zone threat. You know, with if Melvin Gordon doesn't come back, that's going to increase the touchdown probability for those pass catchers. So that would make me feel better. But that's kind of where I draw the line, where it's like outside those guys, I'm not going to reach for Ebron. I'm not going to reach for Njoku or McDonald or Jared Cook. I'm just going to kind of take value when it's presented to me.
You know, if you've been listening to the show for a month or two or three, you know that I've been gung-ho about drafting a tight end in the top five. I really changed my song here. Travis Kelce's ADP is too high now that Tyreek Hill's back. George Kittle, it's too high. Zach Ertz, not doing it. He's not going to get as many targets as he did. He even admitted that. He's going in the third round in a lot of cases. O.J. Howard is one I like at his ADP, which is what, fifth round? Hunter Henry, I think, is a little bit too risky for my taste. I've actually moved off him a little bit. I wouldn't mind getting him in the sixth, but he's gone before then. Evan Engram, I guess if Golden Tate's actually going to be suspended, I'll probably move Engram up ahead of Hunter Henry, which I never thought I'd say. And then after that, it's all pretty much the same. I'm kind of okay with streaming at this point. I'll take a flyer on Jack Doyle. And if you know what, it doesn't work out, I can pick up Jimmy Graham. I can pick up Kyle Rudolph. And I'll be fine. It'll be no different than the guy who's drafting David Njoku at seven. So I'm okay with streaming now. I also like some sleepers like Darren Waller's fine. Jeff Swaim I've talked about. Even Dallas Goedert, if anything was to happen to Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert would be a top five tight end immediately. In fact, I think he's the only tight end I would ever talk about handcuffing. Not handcuffing Zach Ertz, just grabbing Dallas Goedert to say, if Zach Ertz gets hurt, man, I've got myself a stud tight end. Like we've done with running backs in the past, like Daryl Henderson this year.
Even Sigmund Bloom, he's someone that I had on the show last week, and he likes Goddard as like a top 12 tight end. He feels that there's going to be some performances that you can use even without an injury to Zach Ertz, but if something does happen to Ertz, he presents upside that you're just not going to find with the guys drafted outside the top 12.
Man, it's a bummer. I had fun on vacation, but it's a bummer I had to miss talking to Sigmund and Sean Corner, and I believe you had one other guest on as well, and I'm sure I would have loved to talk to them as well. So
no, it was a good time, man. It was definitely a good time.
Yeah. So let's talk about auction leagues just briefly. And, you know, the reason I'm saying briefly is because I wrote up a pretty extensive article on auction strategy, budgeting strategy, you know, translating snake value into auction value, how value changes even during the draft and how the Draft Wizard can help you with that. But Tags, what I want to talk about is this idea of building a top heavy team. What are the limits here? Like, would you say you could go Get Ezekiel Elliott, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara for $170 combined if your league lets you, and still have a decent team?
No.
I don't think so either. A lot of people want to try to do this. And in this article, I break it down and say, this is what your team would look like if you do this. If you go four stars like DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Travis Kelce, Nick Chubb, and it doesn't look good, I would spread the wealth a little bit more.
I look forward to reading that article, Bobby, because like it's something that's interesting to me because, like, you know, we talk about the top tier players and how, you know, if you have those guys in your roster, you're not trading them away. Like, essentially, you'd have to be like someone have to break the bank to give them to you. But there is a point of overdoing it, right? Like, is if you spend $170 on those guys and you have $30 left for your wide receivers, quarterback, tight end, you are going to be screwed. Like, you're going to be looking at wide receivers that are averaging 5 targets per game, and you're going to be like relying on matchups and playing that game. And it's just going to become really difficult because you're not going to have anybody that you just insert in your lineup with confidence. You're going to, every single week, you're going to be asking yourself, who do I start? Then you're going to make a bad decision and it's going to screw up your mental state. There's so many things that come into play where it's like, you can't do this. You can't, if you want to get 2 studs, it's like, okay, I mean, we're going to have to find some value later in the draft. You have to understand going into the draft who the value targets are, who are guys that are going to go cheaper than they should, and, you know, kind of build your strategy around that. But again, look at the, you know, if you do the auction calculator inside and you get that cheat sheet created, basically it gives you an idea as to what players should go for and their value. So as long as you're not going over the value, grabbing 2 studs, I'm not against, but don't go over value on 2 of them.
But in most leagues, stars go way over the value. Like, we project Saquon at 63, Zeke at 57, McCaffrey at 56, Kamara at 54. They're all going to go for 70, all 4 of them. And if your leg's different, go for it, but it's probably not going to happen.
Yep, the calculator will tell you. I mean, it's probably going to say something like 58 for Zeke or something like that, and then he's going to be bid up to 75, and you're going to be wondering if your sheet's wrong. It's not, trust me. It's just people spending their money. A lot of times, like, I've admitted, I'm a value drafter, where it's like, I'm never going to go up to those ranges to get a player. So you guys go ahead and do that, and I'm going to find value throughout the draft. But ideally, you don't leave a draft without, again, I want one of those top 12 running backs. I want one of those top 12 receivers. Some of them cost a lot cheaper than the others.
Hey, by the way, if you guys want to read that article, I did put a lot of work into it. And I'm big into auction drafts and auction strategies and do really well in those leagues. I think this will help you a lot. You just Google fantasy football auction budgeting strategies. It'll be the first one that comes up. And there's some good stuff in there. So, Tags, now let's talk about dynasty strategy and just how we approach things. My advice here is very simple. You play to win every single year. Let everyone else worry about winning 2 or 3 years down the road. Things change so much. 3 years ago, Dez Bryant was the number one dynasty asset in fantasy football. It changes in a hurry, especially for running backs. If you play to win now, you're going to have a big advantage because nobody else is. You're going to be able to go out and get these guys like Chris Carson that nobody wants in Dynasty, and he's going to be able to help you. Even Leonard Fournette, a lot of people have given up on a Dynasty saying, you know, his reign is over. He's still going to be an RB1 for 2 or 3 years, guys. And so I play to win now and let everything else work itself out. I don't care about that. Everyone gets so excited about their draft picks. You know, give me all your first round picks so that I can turn them into Kalen Ballage, and it doesn't work out. Let everyone else have fun with the drafts. You have fun with winning.
That's basically where I'm at. I'm looking at a 2 to 3 year window because outside that, it's going to be really tough for you to gauge where people are going to be at. You know, Laquon Treadwell a couple of years ago was considered, you know, one of those guys that you wanted as probably a top 30 dynasty wide receiver. Corey Davis was a top 15, you know, as short as a year ago. People are dropping him down board. So it's difficult to project the trajectory of a player's career with all the coaching changes that go on in today's NFL. You kind of have to follow that and understand that there's some players who are going to be tied to high scoring teams like Andy Reid. If Andy Reid drafts a running back next year in the top 3 rounds, draft that running back everywhere because that guy is tied to Andy Reid for 3 years.
Draft him in the first round of your redraft league, probably, no matter who he is.
Basically, that's the thing, is like, understand who these players are tied to. I know that Corey Davis right now is tied to Marcus Mariota and that Titans roster for another 2 years, and it really sucks. So his value has gone down. I can't project where he's going to go. He could wind up with Ryan Tannehill somewhere. I don't know. Stop pretending that we know. Talent does mean a lot, but it means a lot less than people think because offense, like, the situation matters. You know, let's talk about David Johnson. If David Johnson...
What do you think matters more for wide receivers? Scheme or volume?
Volume for wide receivers, I would say.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I went with Corey Davis. over Calvin Ridley in the draft. But because I agree, Ridley has a much better situation. I just think the difference in targets will be too much.
That's when I separate. If I have two guys that I feel like are in the same tier, I'll lean on the guy with the better quarterback, better offense. Okay, like that's what I'll go towards. And that's why I went Ridley in that one. I do love Corey Davis, the talent. When people tell me that it's wrong to say I like a player's talent, but I don't like him in fantasy, we have to separate the two. Like, that's our job, is to figure out who's good in fantasy and who's not. And Corey Davis is just in a bad situation. That's all. I like Corey Davis, the player. But when it comes to Dynasty, so many people look forward to future draft picks. And
it's fun, but winning is just funner, man.
It is, but that's the thing. Don't be the douche in your league that, like, legitimately trades away all of his future picks just to win a league. And then you win, and then you leave the league. Like, that's the biggest douchebag move that I could think of. Don't ever do that. But
here's how you prevent that. You make them pay for next year's team as well. Everybody in your league pays for next year's team. That way, the guy who's taken over his team with no draft picks, and you can't trade draft picks more than 2 years out. That way, the guy who's taken over his team with no draft picks gets his entry fee paid for.
Yeah, well, shout out to my buddy Nixon. Nixon from Framing Hanley. He, in our Dynasty League, he makes you pay. So if you want to trade a future draft pick, you have to pay that future year. So if you want to trade away picks 3 years down the road, you have to go and pay him for that. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to trade the pick. I love that idea because it locks people in for the years that they're trading those picks away. And if they do leave, that money can fortunately go to find a replacement owner that's going to take over a crapshoot.
All right, man, let's close this out by talking about best ball leagues. Now, we explained it earlier on draft.com and draft that you can find on the App Store and the Play Store. Again, you can get a free entry by entering the promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word. And draft, it's such a sleek site and app. The app is amazing, man. I'm doing drafts all the time when I'm bored, just because, you know, I'm not gonna be bored in the next 2 months, but just because it goes so easily and it's just a blast. I'd rather do that than sit there and read a book or watch some crummy TV show.
Oh, stop talking about books, dude. I love reading books.
I mean, I like reading books too, but like, fantasy football is better.
It is, obviously. I mean, my job is fantasy football for a reason, but I do love reading books. I'm a nerd.
So these best ball leagues, you're drafting 18 players, right? How many of each position do you want? You don't draft kickers or defense special teams. You got quarterback, tight end, wide receiver, running back. So how many do you want and how flexible can we be?
So I'm pretty flexible when it comes to quarterback and tight end, understanding who you have on your roster. Like one roster I drafted recently, I wound up with Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers as my quarterbacks. I got Brees as like the...
So just two of them.
Yeah. And I was more than okay with that because I know that these guys are generally healthy. They don't miss time and I don't have to rely on that. Now, there was another team that I drafted that I seriously went against everything that I typically do. I'm not kidding, Bobby. My quarterbacks in this league are Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen.
Oh, man.
It was the weirdest roster that I've ever put together, but I did it. I wanted to experiment saying that I'm going to draft three mobile quarterbacks. I understand that, you know, one or possibly two of them are going to miss some time, but hopefully they piece.
That sounds good to me.
That's what I'm hoping. They complement each other well and it works out. So understand who you're drafting. How realistic is it that they play all 16 games? So if you have two starters that basically are almost always out there for 16 games, we can't bank on freak injuries. But, you know, if you have someone like Kirk Cousins and
Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, Stafford. Like these guys typically play 16 games. But if you have some of the mobile quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson, like a Kyler Murray, like even a Cam Newton, you know, dealing with that shoulder injury, we don't know if that can react up. I typically want to take three quarterbacks there. It's the same thing.
And you have to worry about the quarterbacks who might lose their job. I would put Nick Foles and Andy Dalton as the two last safe quarterbacks, Derek Carr too. Behind that, I think Mariota could lose his job, Eli Manning, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Case Keenum, obviously. If you get one of those guys, I think you got to get their backup too. If one of those guys is your QB2, you got to get their backup as your QB3. But I'd prefer just to go three of the top 26 here as well in these best ball leagues, unless you get two of the top, or two durable guys is what I'll say. For tight end, it's I either get two of the top nine guys on my board, or I'm going three tight ends.
Yeah, more often than not, I will have three tight ends. But if I grab, let's say that if I pay up for Kelce or if I pay up for Ertz or Kittle, then I might debate just going two tight ends just because I feel like I've left myself vulnerable at running back or wide receiver, like not having one of those top tier studs. But most of the time, I do take three tight ends. But I mean, Jimmy Graham is someone that I've been getting a ton of. Is my tight end too, and I'm so happy with that. And I've even grabbed Jason Witten as like my final pick. Just as someone that I know is going to play all 16 games. I know that he's going to catch a few passes every single game, not leaving me stranded with a zero at tight end. So it's like, if you take him with your last pick, I understand he doesn't present much upside in best ball, but he gives you a floor every single week.
That's smart. I'm not really sure what to do if I miss on, you know, the top six tight ends here. Like, do you just wait and do you grab Mark Andrews and Jimmy Graham and Jeff Swaim? Or are you just like, do you have to hurry up and get one of these top 10 guys? Are you okay with three tight end twos?
Oh, I'm okay waiting. Yeah, if I end up with Jordan Reed, Jimmy Graham, and, you know, like I said, Jason Witten, I'm okay with those three.
Put Jeff Swaim in there. Put Jeff Swaim in there, baby.
So Bobby, in memory of you, I think I took him in, it was a 28-round draft, and I think I did take Jeff Swaim for you.
Yeah, baby, you're going to win your league.
It's like the 24th round or something like that. It was funny.
Everyone was probably like, who is that guy? By the way, he might lose his job to Josh Oliver. And if that happens, I want Josh Oliver.
I doubt it, though. Rookie tight ends are always overhyped. It's the same thing with Foster Moreau. And
I agree. But, you know, you're reading all these beat reporters and they're like, oh, Josh Oliver looks really athletic and Jeff Swaim doesn't.
I know. One thing that we actually do need to pay attention to is in Miami, it seems like Mike Gesicki is not going to be the starting tight end.
Really?
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding at all. They're saying that I think Nick O'Leary.
Oh.
Nick O'Leary actually is the one running with the starters in camp. So hold on.
Oh, boy.
I know this is totally not best ball related, but I'm laughing internally because I don't know what's happening in Miami. Ryan Fitzpatrick starting over Josh Rosen. Okay, I guess we could see that. Kalen Ballage is starting over Kenyon Drake. Definitely can't see that.
Oh, wow. You're right. All of this stuff.
And now Mike Gesicki is falling behind Nick O'Leary as the starter. Is this like something that he's doing to give these guys like motivation? Brian Flores, we know nothing about. But if these guys are actually starters, I'm starting to question rational coaching decisions here.
Maybe they just know they're going to lose, and so they want to really lose so they can really get a good quarterback.
It's possible, like the whole tank for Tua thing?
Yeah, man. I mean, it makes sense. If that's what they're doing, I commend them. And it really sucks because we want to see competitive football. But you know what? If Miami Dolphins fans want a Super Bowl, that's what you got to do.
The question is, who starts tanking for the 2021 first pick? Like, that's going to be the year, like next year.
I mean, Tua is fine, but in the NFL, I don't think he's like a franchise Super Bowl winning quarterback. We'll see. He's got some upside. But Lawrence, I mean, this is Andrew Luck all over again. You get a guy who gives you a chance to win every game regardless of the surrounding talent. Okay, so running back and wide receiver, I tend to get 5 to 6 running backs and 6 to 8 wide receivers. And the wide receivers are a different type than I usually go for, too. I like Curtis Samuel a lot and DeSean Jackson and guys like that a lot because we're looking for the boom weeks. We're not looking for someone who's safe like Golden Tate, who I've been drafting in redraft leagues. I want the guys. I want 8 guys, and 3 of them are going to explode every week.
Here's a fun fact. Did you know, Bobby, that Tre'Quan Smith had more boom games last year than Keenan Allen, A.J. Green, Will
wow.
Fuller? Yeah, he had 2 25-point games last year. That's what you're looking for in best ball. Like, if you want to go running back heavy, and like let's say you draft 5 running backs in the first 8 to 9 rounds. Awesome. Because you know what? You're able to grab guys like that. You're able to grab guys like DeSean Jackson. You can get guys like even like one of my deepest ones for best ball sleepers. I own him a lot. Travis Benjamin. He's going to be a starting wide receiver for the Chargers. He's going to be the field stretcher that Tyrell Williams has been. Granted, he's not going to get 100 targets, but he's going to have those big weeks. That's what you're looking for in best ball. So I actually love going with the like a later round strategy on wide receivers because basically ADP sticks in best ball. You're drafting against similar crowds almost every time. So I kind of have a good grasp as to how drafts go. Getting the late round receivers are awesome. So yeah, if you want to get just 5 running backs that you know are all good and going to get playing time, awesome.
And then 2 quarterbacks, then you've got yourself 8 wide receivers.
Yep, and then you are going to have some big weeks mixed in there.
Yep, I agree with that. Other guys I like in that range, Michael Gallup, and then Marquise Goodwin.
Yeah, Marquise Goodwin is someone that I own way too much of, and I didn't even realize it until I looked at my ownership percentages.
Yeah.
All right, so Bobby, now that we're done, we're wrapping this show up. I'm going to leave the listeners, I'm going to leave you with this question, okay? Someone brought it up to me the other day, and it was a really good question. We all play in dynasty leagues, and what happens if the NFL goes on strike? And let's pretend that you've traded away rookie picks for the 2020 draft. What happens with those draft picks if we miss a year of football?
I think that they get rolled over to the following year.
Or do they just go away? That's the crazy part, because that 2021 draft would be worth a whole lot more for rookie drafts.
Yeah, I think you need to decide this now, by the way. That's a good point, Tex.
Yeah, I wanted to bring it up because it was a question. I was like, that's a great question, because this whole CBA business, it's a real thing. I do happen to think it gets worked out, but it's a real question.
All right, man, that's all for today's show. That was a lot of fun. I didn't know we were going to be able to cover a whole show and then some with strategy talk, but you know, there was actually probably more we could have got into.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we could talk football all day, man. This is what I love to do.
Yeah, you're right. Especially since I haven't done it in a week, man. I was dying on vacation. Like, I want to go do my job. Like, I want to do the fun stuff on vacation too, but like, it's football time, man.
There you go.
Yep. All right, guys, and thanks to the sponsor of today's show, Draft. We talked about them a little bit here at the end. You can use the promo code FANTASYPROS to get a free entry, and just search Draft in the App Store or go to draft.com and come play for free with the promo code FANTASYPROS. Also, make sure to enter that Beat Tags Draft Contest at fantasypros.com/draft contest and go to youtube.com/fantasypros and subscribe. That way you can get notifications when Tags and I do these draft contests and things like these. We're going to be doing some live streams, answering questions, all kinds of stuff, great videos coming out on the YouTube channel. And then finally, check out our draft kit. Again, that's fantasypros.com/draft kit. It is essential cheating. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Hey parents, looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.